Avenue. Mm. Pussy.
Ooh.
Hey.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to get the sim flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, MK Lords? Can you feel it, Derek J? Can you feel it, Michael WD?
Super hard right now.
I can feel it.
All I'm able to feel.
And I'm Jim Jesus, and this show is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Stop with the state governments.
I'm going to say it every time.
No, and I'm going to correct you every time, because it sounds like you're saying the state of Nevada can't use it, but the federal government.
No, the federal is a state. The federal is a state.
And again, I will say my problem with you're saying, well, say what you mean by state governments. What other governments are there?
They're
voluntary governments and imaginary governments.
No, voluntary governments are not governments, period.
No, they're not states.
Any institution that provides governance is a government.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, self-government.
You guys need to stop saying government for anything that's not backed with violence. It wouldn't be a government. It would be like your cell phone plan. It would be something.
A collective social order.
No, it'd be something that gives you services.
It's a polycentric legal order.
Contract for services. Man, you've been listening to... Who, you know, is that Kinsella's thing? It's Kinsella's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, don't
Kinsella's
make me
running
Kinsella
for president.
Lower my GD taxes. Is he?
Kinsella's
no, he's not. He was
running
joking.
For president. No, he's serious. I'll bet Trump started as a joke. U.S. America. America.
America.
That's not a company I ever heard of.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys are all high.
It is a corporation. That's why they use all capital letters.
Are there fringes on the flag?
It. Yeah.
It's maritime law.
I just want a triangle. I just want
free triangles for everybody.
Oh, yeah. We're terrible.
So what's this about autographs? You wanted to talk about autographs.
I
sort of instigated it, right?
Well,
didn't I?
No, some guy did. It wasn't you. You guys ever been asked for your autograph?
Yeah,
one time.
Yeah.
For what? MK, for what? Let's go around the room.
People kind of knew me from doing libertarian stuff. And it was flattering. It was only once. I mean, more people asked to take like selfies and stuff.
That's the new autograph, is a selfie with your arm around somebody. Huh?
Yeah. I think I might have, but I felt kind of weird about it because I was like, why are you listening to me?
Why aren't you listening to me?
No, why are you listening to me? Like, I don't know. I always find it weird when someone's like, oh, yeah, I like what you're doing, which is really, I'm really appreciative. I mean, that's awesome. When I'm just like, there are smarter people, though. Like, don't listen. Like, go on. Go beyond. I don't know. But
I
was flattered.
Find someone else.
I was flattered.
Stalk someone else.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if
anybody ever asks anyone for their autograph and gets it and then like uses it to like steal their identity. You know, like it's their signature.
Oh, mine's
basically.
Chicken scratch. Like
yeah,
you can't,
mine is too.
It doesn't even make sense.
What about you, Derek? So, ask your autograph.
My signature is beautiful, like the Queen of England, and I've been asked to sign.
Yes, it is.
My movie, which is free. Derek J's Victimless Crimes.
In all
free.
Caps. Isn't that one of them sovereign citizen movies? It's where you won't take your hat. It's an hour and a half of you not taking your hat off in court and pointing out the fringes on the flag, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And you sign your autograph in all caps because it's not the corporation you. It's
all rights reserved.
I'm pulling your leg.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people who think you're a sovereign citizen.
People message me through my website giving me sovereign citizen advice. I'm like, that's great. You try that. You know, I hope to see the video.
Good luck with all that.
How many red crayons do you have, really? Tell me.
Yeah.
Well, I would go to these people's trial if they would do it in New Hampshire because they do it in places where you can't film. And I'm like, I don't know that what you said happened because you didn't get any evidence.
I know there's film. I saw some film some video from Idaho of a sovereign citizen guy getting arrested.
What?
The whole thing he was getting arrested for was trying to film in court. It's like, that's not much of a place to start from if you're going to try to film your sovereign citizen stuff, is like doing it at a place where you can't even get the camera in the courtroom.
Nah,
has any
weak.
Of that stuff ever worked? Do you guys know of any successful sovereign citizens?
It's
because
worked.
It just
it's
all looks like train wrecks to me.
It's no, yeah, it works. It more often than not, it doesn't work. But it's
like,
worked.
Does it work by annoyance? Like you just annoy the people to death, and then they're finally like, okay, I give. Okay,
of
I
course,
give up, like tapping out.
Well, I have seen cases where like tax protesters have gotten off, but then they lose the civil cases because all they do is just prove that they believe they didn't have to pay taxes. If that's the case, then they can't prove that it's criminal, but you know, they're still going to end up paying for all that back taxes and stuff.
I'll bet more often
you
than
still
not
end up paying.
When they win a minor annoyance traffic ticket in court, you know, 6 months later the cops beat the crap out of them and steal their property somehow, steal their car. I really think so.
Worms.
Let's see. How about you, Jim? You've been asked to sign your autograph or anything?
Yeah. I used to run a hookah website and I used to do hookah reviews, but that's all behind me now. But one of the times there was someone who won something. I think it was like a hookah, and they wanted me to sign the hookah, and I was like, okay, so I signed it, Jim Jesus.
Nice. So what's your feel about autographs, Michael?
I think they're ridiculous. I'm not asked constantly for my autographs, but I've been asked consistently for my autograph from time to time, going back to like when I was like, I don't know, 21 or something, and I'm 52 now, so like 31 years or something. It was for band stuff back then, but there was actually the funniest thing is like the period that I was the most popular was the time I was had the most people following the stuff I was doing in my band. Was the time I was asked the least for my autograph because it was punk rock, and it was like autographs were uncool in punk rock. and I liked that. I kind of felt like punk rock killed all that. And now it's come back a bit too. Like somebody, generally people ask me to sign merch that I'm sending them. Like sign the back of those Fiend buttons you send me, or sign that Bipcot sticker. Or somebody recently asked me, they were going to make perforated blotter paper that looked like acid with Bipcot on it, which is probably from, I made a Photoshop mock-up of Bipcot heroin bags. I thought that'd be a fun idea. But somebody who's actually going to make, not acid, but what looked like acid as art. You know, there was this guy named Mark McLeod. Googled Mark McLeod and acid.
Now we know who did it. Arrest him.
No. Was it Mark McLeod? No, Mark McLeod was a guy who was accused of being an acid manufacturer in San Francisco. He was a buddy of mine and a big fan of my band Bomb, and he was arrested in Texas for touring in the 90s with he had framed, it was like actual acid blotter, like, you know, what's called a brick, which is 1,000 hits on one sheet that usually had like a design that took up the whole sheet, and then like each individual one would be a chunk of it, kind of like a, you know,
like
a jigsaw puzzle you'd never put together. You put together in your mind collectively with other people. And he had like, I mean, he had hundreds of, you know, famous designs of acid that he somehow supposedly chemically neutralized without destroying the artwork, and then had them professionally framed and then toured around the country in art galleries with this as an exhibit. And in Texas, they arrested him. And I guess they like chemically tested it by ruining one of the sheets and found out it was not actually acid and let him go. And he had to hire a high-priced attorney, which he somehow had the money for. But Mark McLeod, my neighbor and friend from San Francisco and a fan of my band. And see, here's the thing about autographs. I feel like they're false because what people want them for is they want a piece of you, kind of in a way that like implies they know you. Yeah. Like, you know, like when you ask an author to autograph a book, like I value a book that a friend of mine didn't write and buys for me on Amazon and then signs and hands me, more than I value a book signed by a famous author who never met me, or if I stood in line and got it signed or something, you know, cause it, and even the selfie, like, you know, I don't know, like you guys, I know you guys, I'd never ask you for your autographs because I know you guys, like I have a relationship with you guys. I don't need a piece of paper to prove it. It just, autographs just seem fake to me.
Well, I think it's kind of nice, and it gives someone a piece of memorabilia. So I don't understand people who take pictures at shows and stuff like that, but I do know a lot of people who take a lot of pictures because that helps them remember things better. I'm too distracted by what's going on to remember to take a picture, though.
I think for some
people, it helps them remember that moment in time where they got to meet someone they really looked up to. And I think it's a nice thing. You know, it's sweet.
There's some famous photographer that just died, New York City photographer guy who was a big, big drug abuser who died of drugs recently. And I looked him up, and it said that the reason he started taking pictures was because he'd get so wasted he couldn't remember who he'd hung out with. That's kind of a neat backstory. I like that. And MK's description of it kind of reminds me of when I... You know, I for a while I was like out of the public eye. Like I was out of like being able to be like in the same room with people from doing drugs. Like the end of my drug using, I was just a mess. Like no one wanted to be around me. People, all my friends, like nobody would return a call even. And then I got clean. Then I got a little better. And then I got back into, you know, doing stuff other than music and started doing film. And I made that film DIY or Die: How to Survive as an Independent Artist and toured with it. And all of a sudden, people started asking me for my autograph again. And Ian MacKay from Minor Threat and Fugazi's in the movie. And I was emailing a bunch with him. And I wrote him, and I was like, Ian, people are asking me for my autograph. I'm kind of not freaked out, but just like, it just seems really dumb to me. You know, do you sign autographs? And he's like, yeah, I do. I had a problem with it at first, but now I do it. And, you know, somebody throws it in a drawer, and 10 years later they pull it out, and they remember the night they saw your band and had a good time. So, yeah, I do it. And that's kind of what MK just said. Like, yeah, people, you know, helps them remember something. So I'll do it, but it just seems like fake to me, you know?
Yeah, the last time I asked for an autograph, I went and saw Penn and Teller, and I had a copy of The Residents' Mark of the Mole.
Your boy, Penn.
Yeah, yeah, and I had a copy of Mark of the Mole, and he actually, like, he actually voices the weatherman, you know, in the album. And I was like, oh, I got to sign it. And it was mostly just so I could, like, talk to him for a second about The Residents. So that was
That's awesome. I got to meet Penn in Vegas a few months ago, and I got to take a picture with him, and I got him to record an intro to Libertarian Atheist podcast. So that was kind of cool. It wasn't quite an autograph, but it was still like a cool piece of memorabilia. I'm shocked he even agreed to do it, but I was like, sweet. So
yeah, we got those from the guys that does Death Clock here on the Fiends.
Yeah,
if you hear them, that's that. Yeah, and I like that a lot.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So something really interesting happened at the Libertarian convention thing. And I don't think you guys talked about it last night. I only listened to half the show because I was busy sleeping. And you guys released it late. What was wrong with that? Anyways, so this guy... got up on stage and made a complete fool of himself and was flailing around, and everybody was just like, oh, like, why is this happening? And, you know, and it's been a big thing. It was a total embarrassment. It's been all over Facebook, and not so much the news, but yeah, this Austin Peterson guy needs to stop talking, and I'm tired of hearing it. And he just made a complete mockery of the whole situation. Yeah, I can't believe it. Why does this guy have any clout whatsoever? I mean, his website is terrible too. Yeah, him and his pyramid of women's genitalia. It's just it has to stop.
I still got to say, I think that anarchists talking about government is like, man, come on. But you guys really
make libertarians degenerate again.
Who's talking about government?
Talking about Libertarian Party stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, my
party like a Libertarian Party.
My take on it is like, I don't even know what's going on, and I think that makes me cooler than people who complain about what's going on. So there.
Well.
Yeah, but you guys like talk about ice cream flavors.
I like the guy who's dancing. He brought some spunk to things. That's the future. That's that, you know, make libertarianism degenerate again, because they keep electing Republicans, and I'm like, can you guys stop pretending you're Republicans? They're never going to accept you. They don't like you. Like, well, that's why you're in a different party.
To be fair, Gary Johnson's a rhino anyway.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so Gary Johnson won the nomination. He's a more of a Republican.
My favorite meme out of this whole thing.
And the person he picked is definitely a Republican.
He's a Democrat pretending to be a Republican who left the Republican Party and now is pretending to be a Libertarian.
If people don't know what we're talking about, a guy got up and did a large man did a striptease at the Libertarian National Party convention on C-SPAN yesterday. And we think it's
again?
Great.
It's beautiful.
And a lot of the... Did I say again?
No, I'm just... Oh. That happened every year, I thought.
No, man.
It should happen every year.
There should be a party, like a splinter party. All you need to start a new party is a resentment and a fat naked man, right?
Are you saying that the gay or that the Buzz's big gay dance party should be on the road every time there's a convention? Yeah. You know, showing up the LP.
Well, if there's no dancing. That actually might get me to vote.
Yeah, that might actually get me to vote.
That was the name of yesterday's show. If we can't dance, we don't want any part of your revolution, with a picture of the fat naked guy. But the name of today's show is Happy Statism Day. And again, I got to say that being on an anarcho-capitalist voluntarist, well, let's see. I know, MK, you're not an anarcho-capitalist. What are you? What are you?
Anyway, what am I?
You're one of them.
But, human being.
Yeah, being on a human being radio show where we make fun of politics but spend most of our time talking about politics. It reminds me of the AA meeting I used to go in San Francisco that was called the Anarchist Atheist Agnostic Meeting of San Francisco, where all they did was talk about God, about their resentments about God. And I'm like, if you're really... And Jim, you are an atheist who has an issue with atheists who... wag it in your face. What's your issue with that?
They're called anti-theists, people who are like actively trying to like disprove God in every second, and make YouTube videos like all day talking about it.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
It's annoying. It's annoying.
Well, then don't watch it.
Because I don't watch it.
But there's a market for that, because there's people like me who were brought up in the church. Like, my stepmom's a pastor, and when I like realized all these things I've been told were lies, I felt a need to anti-proselytize the way I had been proselytizing for the years. And I don't feel that way anymore, but like, there's a place for anti-theism.
Oh, no.
What's that joke, Jim, I'm just saying an atheist, a CrossFit guy, and a vegan
walking to a bar.
And everybody knows, because they all told everybody within 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of the thing. It's like, okay, you want to make YouTube videos, that's fine, but why the YouTube videos, the whole entire lifestyle that goes with it, the constant conventions, and then like, oh, how are you doing? God's not real. Leave me alone.
My agreement with
Jim on
this.
God bless you, they take offense to it.
Yeah.
My agreement with Jim on this, and this spills over in...
There is no God.
This spills over into my thought about where to head a talk radio show. I kind of think that if you spend most of your energy denying something, you're perpetuating it.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel like...
That which resists, persists.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're on a radio show talking about how terrible government is, and we shouldn't be involved in government.
I'm not. Yeah. I spent the whole first part talking about how dumb autographs were, man. And I'm not going to be on the whole show.
You're only perpetuating autographs.
You guys can spend the whole show talking about politicians.
I guess I'm with Derek on this, though, because, yeah, I've had a lot of friends who, you know, they started hanging out with the wrong crowd. They started going to church regularly.
You do a podcast with the word atheist in the name.
Yes, right.
But I consider it like a part of growth, like puberty. I mean, it's a stage that people go through. Where it's like,
so you'll grow out of it, MK. Yeah. You'll have to change the name of your podcast, is what he's saying.
Oh, hey, no, I didn't pick the name. I tried to veto it, but hey, I agree with it.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
That's how it works. I would welcome our robot overlords to run talk radio soon enough. This is Freedom Fiends. I'd like to welcome. Should we welcome the station? Hello.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome the station. I would like to welcome station KZLS, 1640 AM in Oklahoma City, 10,000 watts of tyranny busting power. Thank you for picking up the Freedom Fiends.
Now that actually picks up in Wichita, doesn't it? Just right on the outskirts of the signal, so my parents actually can get that signal.
All right, have them check it out Sundays from noon to 2. It's also Stillwater, which is where, and Norman, which is where your boys, the Flaming Lips, live. Although I don't think they probably listen to a lot of talk radio, but maybe.
Yeah,
who knows? They will
now. Did you know that the state song of Oklahoma, there's a state rock song of Oklahoma.
Do you realize? Do you realize?
It's a great, it's a Grateful Dead song. It's a
it's a great Flaming Lips song.
What are they called? Flaming Lips song. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's what the song is going to play at my funeral.
I don't have autographs of them. Here's what's better than an autograph from someone famous. Them having an opinion of you, positive or negative. And the singer in the Flaming Lips, if you asked him about Michael Dean from the band Bomb, he would roll his eyes and go, ugh. That's cooler. And if you asked their drummer, Steve Drudes, he'd be like, oh, yeah, man, cool. I like Bomb. They're great.
Oh, yeah. He's not their drummer anymore. Yeah,
he's either keyboard player.
He's a guitarist now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's.
Well, who knows? They just fired their drummer, so who knows? Yeah.
I liked it when they had Ron, the black dude playing guitar, who was just louder than God.
He was an awesome guitarist, but they were only great after they started getting rid of the old alternative sound, which wasn't bad. It was so much better when they started.
Now, how come the state song of Oklahoma isn't Jesus Shooting Heroin? If we're going to lose the station as soon as we get it. Do you know that song? I love that song. No. You don't know the Flaming Lips song, Jesus Shooting Heroin?
No, this is clearly from their alt days, which I'm not.
It's like their first record, and it's, oh, God, you don't know the song, Jesus Shooting Heroin. Man.
I love the name of that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I could go back and listen to that one.
Maybe it should be She Don't Use Butter.
No, that's what it's
Flaming. She Don't Use Jelly.
It's the Butthead made fun of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah.
When was the Flaming Lips, like, heyday?
Heyday, I think that was their only hit.
I only knew them from Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. It's
really their only hit was She Don't Use Jelly.
Was it on MTV and all those stations?
Always
wearing.
Yes.
These days a needle's under my skin. Jesus shooting heroin.
I just have to say, I love how we were debating whether or not to continue the religious discussion, and now we're just playing the Jesus Shooting Heroin song. I like that. That works.
I still think
this is more interesting to me than talking about atheism.
But I still think embryonic.
I love Jesus. I think he shoots. I'd shoot heroin with him, man. I love Jesus.
Yoshimi is a great album, but embryonic.
Who would Jesus shoot heroin with?
He turns water into heroin.
I had a dream today that I was hiding heroin from my dad. I haven't done heroin in 22 years, and I haven't lived with my dad in like 40 years. But I don't know. Those things happen.
Bipcot licensed?
The heroin. There should be heroin bags with the Bipcot logo on them. I was researching that, like looking for images just of the bags without a logo on them. Because in New York.
Research.
they have, yeah, quote, air quotes, research. In New York, they have, like, brand names of heroin, and they're always, like, scary names, like DOA and Toe Tag and WMD. Like, the more messed up they are, the better the heroin's supposed to be. Like, DOA, like, this heroin will kill you. It's that good. Oh, give me some. But there was one brand called Obamacare. I thought that was hilarious. And there was...
That was terrifying.
Yeah, because you can sit around and talk about it in front of the cops. Like, yeah, man, I'm going to get me some of that Obamacare, you know? But there was also one called Theraflu. I love that. Hey, baby, I'm going down to the store. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going down to the corner to get some Theraflu. Yeah.
Oh, I had that one. That one was pretty good, man.
I was amazed at the names that they were coming out with different cannabis products.
There's one called AK-47.
My favorite was Cat Piss.
That's called Shatter. Like, that sounds terrifying. Like,
that's not a brand name, though. That's
it's not a brand name. No, it's not a brand name. It's more like a type. Yeah, it's a type of preparation. I'm like, okay, I don't need it.
I wrote to a guy that does that runs the marijuana dispensary that's filmed in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Karmaceuticals in Denver, Colorado. And I wrote him recently and said that he should have a brand of marijuana called Bipcot. And I explained Bipcot to him and said, yeah, I said Bipcot, or he should call it Bippot and use the Bipcot logo adapted. And still waiting, still waiting for that to happen, but hopefully it will.
Yeah.
No, that's
that could be tax free.
No way. No way, man. Colorado still has their hooks in the marijuana trade there. Like, that was, they were talking about that in the movie that we made 6 years ago, where it was like only medical marijuana was legal then. They were talking about how, like, every week they added a new test. It was like, I mean, the marijuana decriminalization has turned a bunch of liberals into conservatives just because they can finally see the taxes being just piled on weekly and the regulations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, sad. When I used to go to the dispensaries all the time, there was a strain that I liked to get all the time, and it was called cat urine. And
no, that's horrible.
Yes. But, and the reason why is because it had a very strong
world. Yeah.
Strong ammonia smell to it. From sativa and.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Delicious.
Where was this? In California or?
Yeah.
Pot in Mexico.
Pot's not legal in Vegas, is it?
And we started getting medical marijuana dispensaries recently, but because of my job, I can't even apply for such a thing, nor do I really want it because I'm not kind of over it. So,
yeah,
I think it's a trap. I'm not applying for any of that stuff. It puts your name on a list and then they take your guns.
Right. That's why I don't want to, because it could put my license at risk. I'm not going to do it. So
what license?
Well, are you in California? So
are you a nurse, Jim?
I'm nursey. I'm nurse-ish.
You're nurse adjacent.
I'm somewhere in the nurse vicinity.
Someone was calling you a nurse in a derogatory way recently on the internet when they were complaining about.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is a YouTuber who's I think he's clinically insane. He's a Molyneux cultist. He said that he wanted to do sexual acts upon a particular YouTuber. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this one. Not the one who cannot be named, but the other one. He said he wanted to do that because, you know, he's great.
Which one?
Or something. Molyneux.
Molyneux?
He said he wanted to do sexual acts upon Molyneux that I can't say.
But he's a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a groupie.
Because I pointed out that Molyneux is a hypocrite, and, you know, that's you can't say that in a cult. You know, you can't criticize Dear Leader. And, you know. But, you know, I make non-arguments, but, you know, to insult my income and my profession and what else did he say? Oh, I was fat. Yeah. You know, those are all
arguments.
Did you
say to him, I may be, sir, but I'm losing 5 pounds a week, and you, sir, will always be clinically insane?
Yeah. He does have that kind of dead-eye stare. It kind of looks like someone hit him in the head with a baseball bat, and he talks like it, too. He says, you know, he can't even pronounce syndicalism, and yet he was talking with authority that he knew all about it.
What do you call it?
Like syndicism. He said he called Maoism Mayoism.
Mayo, and I'm like, the Mao Clinic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he made a video about this YouTuber named Libertarian Socialist Rants, which, you know, he's an idiot. But he kept calling him Social Rants the whole time. And everyone was like, how are we supposed to take you seriously if you can't even be bothered to say the dude's name right? And it's not even like a hard name to say, you know? Yeah. And he was wrong. Like,
yeah.
the guy was wrong, but and they were both wrong in the end.
So did you guys want to talk about the Libertarian Party? This is probably where I leave because I'm so un-government. I don't even know that there's an election coming up. I'm told there but you're what? I'm losing Jim. You guys losing Jim?
Yeah.
The Neo-PG. Oh, man.
I'm joining.
Yeah.
I said I'm joining the Neo-PG party.
What is that? That's a that's a YouTube channel, right?
No, no, no. It's a Facebook page.
Facebook channel. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's funny. I thought it was you.
No, it wasn't me. It's one of my friends. It's basically kind of like making fun of a guy who's a nihilist on Facebook, and how it kind of got waked. Like he was a nihilist to the point where he just was okay with everyone dying.
Wow.
And yeah, that picture of Lou Rockwell as Pikachu is brilliant.
So, Libertarian Party, you said something funny before the show started that the like. The most hated Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian are the nominees this time.
Yeah, how did that happen? Well, it's really easy. Democracy sucks. They always choose the lowest common denominator.
And you know, it's terrible.
If anyone's just tuning in for the first time and think here's us saying democracy sucks, they probably think, well, you must be what, communist? Then no, man, we're further on the other like nine dimensional left right continuum than you got than you listeners are. Like you think. Put it this way, Bernie Sanders fans want democracy on everything. They want votes on everything. And you, the listener, want representational democracy, which means you want elites who are smarter than you that you vote for to do your voting for you. We just want to throw that all out the window. We think it's all ridiculous and like, why do people need clowns leading them and taking their money and telling them what to do?
I want financial democracy where I vote with my dollar.
Yeah,
if I want something to succeed, I'll buy something from them. If not, I won't buy something from them because then I'm not interested. Yeah,
you know the thing is though that like that kind of language. I mean that's the truth, but it gets watered down. Rush Limbaugh says things like that too. So does Glenn Beck. Like, well, I'll vote with my wallet. I don't need a government to I don't need the government to tell me what to do with my money. It's my money. And he'll say like, you earned the money. You should have a say in how it's spent. Like, no, once it's taken by taxes by force, you don't have any say in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Unless it comes time to war or immigrant or enforcing social conservatist policies, then money should be spent. But it's everything else.
They think that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cute that they trust other people to spend their money responsibly, especially when these people are. Those people.
You people. Right.
Well, have a good show.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
I saw Bailey J use the urinal next to me. It was pretty disturbing.
Hot.
Who's Bailey J?
a famous porn star.
Oh.
Who has
it was disturbing.
Could use a urinal.
Who could use a urinal? Yeah,
let's just say that. Yeah. Cool. Is that for real?
I feel so.
I'm just pointing out that might happen. I'm just pointing out the problem with like people getting upset. Like, oh, there could be a guy who uses the girl's bathroom, you know, who looks like a girl. But I don't know. That'd be even more disturbing if it used a urinal next to me. If I'm like, oh, that's why are you in the men's bathroom? Oh. I thought this was supposed to make people less comfortable or more comfortable by using the one that they're assigned.
I honestly don't understand the obsession with where people pee. It's such a strange thing to fixate on for me because, like, no one goes into a bathroom like all... I don't go into a bathroom wanting to make a big thing out of it. Like, I'm just like, don't even look at me. Like, I'm not even here. I'm just going in here really quick. Like, I'm here for one very specific purpose, and then I'm out. Like, I don't want to make eye contact with
anyone. Are you sure? I mean, MK, I see a lot of ladies going and socializing.
Might check my hair.
Do you socialize in the ladies' room? I see a lot of that happening.
If someone talks to me, I'll talk to them. But
that doesn't happen in a guy's bathroom. They're not going to talk to you. If you talk to you, if somebody talks, they're weird, and you avoid that. You run from the bathroom. Like, don't wash your hands. Just get out of there. In ladies' rooms, it sounds like women are just chatting. They have like couches. People will sit down, have conversations.
Big party
they'll do group
or something.
Therapy. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in there.
No, not really.
This is just my perception.
Depends on the type of bathroom. I mean, sometimes you might go with like a group of girls or something, but I mean, it's not even a huge thing. I mean, maybe
you'll have short conversations.
You might have some short conversations, but if I'm going in there alone, I mean, I'm not really trying to make small talk. I might, like, you know, if I have to.
I think the transgender people are using the guy's bathroom to avoid these chatty girls' rooms.
Or maybe the guys actually want to go in there and have a conversation while they're doing their thing. Yeah,
right.
You know?
The guys are missing out on... They just want some girl talk.
Yeah.
Girl talk. I don't know. It's a very weird thing for people to fixate on for me. I literally don't even think twice about who I'm peeing next to in the bathroom. It's not like I'm on the watch. I'm like, oh, who is that? Like, how dare they pee next to me? How dare they?
Have you ever been in a mixed-gender bathroom?
Yes, definitely.
Where?
Doesn't bother me at all. Just various places I've gone to where there's unisex bathrooms or like...
Well, does that mean it's just you? It's just one person in the bathroom? Or was it like there were guys and girls in there?
Oh, well, I've been to... Yeah, just the one single bathroom where it's like a unisex
thing. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a single person bathroom.
But I've also used bathroom... I've used men's bathrooms before. It's never been a big deal for me. Like, if I have to go, I have to go. I'm not really... You know,
when there were other guys in there,
I've been to a bathroom, and there's a couple times
where I've seen a girl run to a stall, and you just kind of go, "Oh, I know what that's about. I'm not even gonna, you know."
Yeah,
like, but if it uses the urinal next to me, I'm gonna be like, "Whoa, what's going on here?"
But who cares? Because
I don't know what it wants me to say. What's your preferred pronouns? I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do? Tumblr. Tumblr's touching me in a bad spot here.
I want to tell my friends later, but I don't know how to refer to you.
Yeah.
He or she, in this instance, is a person who
doesn't want
to
trigger.
Relieve themselves. So I think that's their... designation, a person who had to relieve themselves.
I've been seeing pictures of like concerts where, you know, there's a lot of people and they usually have to rush and use the bathroom at the same time. So they'll put like urinals and stalls and they'll just have a line pointing like, hey, whichever one you want to use, this is where those things are. You know, they don't put a gender on it at all. They're like, we have stalls, we have urinals. Go the way you want to go.
When did urinating become gendered? I don't understand.
I don't think it ever was.
Why it's
you know,
even gendered.
I grew up
Why does
hearing,
it matter where you do that?
In Latin class, they told us that people used to eat together and use the bathroom together. It was a social time for everyone. Mixed
and
gender.
Besides, girls use the private stalls anyways. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't care. But some people do, apparently.
And we have walls between all the urinals. They build walls between them.
Change them all to buddy toilets.
And they're huge. They're huge walls. Frankly, they're the best walls. The best people to design these walls.
Like, no walls.
The best.
Best toilets.
Buddy ever. Toilets only.
I'm just happy we don't have holes anymore. You know?
Speak for yourself.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Oh, by the way, we figured out who's going to do the intro.
Oh, you, of course. You do it so well.
I don't know the second hour, so I'll just have to repeat the first hour. This is the Freedom Foods broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A. I'm out of sea level, and if you lack the courage to use the only book, this is what's warming your synapses with the human radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty 265 degrees Fahrenheit. You keep the sense of the sneezes out of your head. Can you feel it in Gaylords and Derek J?
Woo! Yeehaw!
Trigger warnings.
Feel it.
And of course, the Freedom Beans is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except for state and federal government. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
And intergalactic.
And intergalactic governments. Ugh. Those have to be the worst.
No, they wear green rings and they patrol the universe, keeping us safe.
Keeping us safe and sound.
No, ooh. I think they would be. It'd be end caps. They'd be like, governments, you guys still do those things? Pfft. It's current year. You need to get with the times. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the aliens haven't visited us yet.
Yeah. So you had that article. Did you want to bring it up? Because I don't have it. About your bathrooms. Bathrooms.
We were discussing the cop bathrooms. Killers?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about the... well, we could talk about bathrooms some more, but... There's a group in New Jersey that was handing out jury nullification pamphlets, and the jurors thought that they were bookmarks, but really they were advocating that people vote not guilty on, or vote their conscience. They could vote not guilty, even if the guy totally did it. The suspected killers, two guys who were being tried for the murder of a corrections officer who was off duty at a party, they just shot him in the head with a bunch of bullets. And I wanted to talk about that. We can get back to that. I don't know. But isn't that interesting?
I'd rather talk about that. Wait, what? So they shot him for handing out pamphlets?
No. I confused it all together. Let me try again. So there's a group giving out jury nullification pamphlets, right? And this is like a common thing around courtrooms around the country. People will stand outside and approach everyone. Some of those people might be jurors who are about to go and vote on something, some affecting someone's life. And so this these pamphlets got into the hands of these jurors who were presiding over a case where there were two guys, Maurice and Hakeem, who were being tried for the murder of a corrections officer named Carl. And Carl was standing on the balcony of a banquet hall at a party celebrating Barack Obama's re-election in 2012 when he was shot in the head with a hail of bullets, says the article at Trentonian.com. So, it's interesting to me that this guy was just shot clearly like right up in the head, execution style. And that there's anyone out there who's saying, like, hey, maybe you guys should let these guys go. That's really interesting. And I just want to know more about them and, like, what's this story about?
Yeah, I'd like to hear more of the story because it kind of seems This is like one of those pick your battles things. I'm obviously totally for jury nullification, but I don't know enough details to be able to immediately jump on these people's side.
Well, I'm not saying the jury nullification, they don't tell you which way to vote. They don't say like, yeah, oh, vote right, not guilty. They just say, you know, you have the choice to set these people free and to vote on the law itself. So, but what I really like about it is that the prosecutors are so upset and scared. I mean, they are like, here's one of the quotes from the prosecutors saying that you, you know, you can vote your I don't know. It's about voting your conscience, really. And they said it was the brochures were anti-prosecutor. And I think that's really cool because, like, yeah, the prosecutors, they're working for the state. I want the brochures to be anti-prosecutor. You know, they're biased. There should be some information against their bias. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, yeah, the whole jury nullification, there's a lot of good stuff that can come of it if you're advocating it. I don't recommend doing it if you're an ANCAP, by the way.
Why?
But because it's worse than voting. It's voting, but worse. If you're anti-voting, you shouldn't then go, oh, well, I'm going to do jury nullification. But I think people take it a little bit too far. Hold on a second. We're going to give a train of thought here. But I've had people who were telling me, like, when I was being tried for jury duty, that I should do everything I can to be on jury duty so I could enact some jury nullification on a civil trial. And I was very specific. I was like, this is a contractual dispute. And it was like, why would you want me to nullify laws about contractual disputes?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. No, like,
that's the one thing you actually kind of want a court to do is, oh, this guy violated a contract. He should be held to that? No, that's what you want. you know, not nullify it.
Does depend on the contract, but
when you're a no government guy like me, and you're on a jury, one of the things that they ask you on a jury, no matter what you're doing it for, is what is your political affiliation, and does your political affiliation may influence your decision on this jury, and you are. You know, subject to perjury. Like if you say, oh no, I'm just a regular old Republican, they're gonna, and then they look at your Facebook and see all this ANCAP stuff, they're gonna be like, sure. And you know, you can go to jail. So you would end up, you would have to lie in order to be on there. You would have to forge, you know, lie on this documentation, put yourself at risk of going to jail. And then when you finally get to the thing, you would then, if you were lucky enough to actually be on a trial where jury nullification would apply, then you could try to fight for it. And this would be months in. You'd be spending months of your time getting paid $5 a day or whatever it is. And then for nothing, you know,
that's different. I misunderstood, because I thought when you said you're not for jury nullification, you meant like you're not for the practice of it at all. But
no.
It sounds like you're okay with people handing out pamphlets and telling people like who are normal and
normies.
Republican. Yeah, like regular Republican Joe is walking into court to be a juror, you know, and he doesn't know about jury nullification. So these people handing out pamphlets are giving them information that they wouldn't have otherwise. Right, and jury nullification is not new, you know.
No.
It's been around forever.
But no one knows about it, and that's a great thing to get the word out to quote-unquote normies, normal people. But as an ANCAP, it's not a good idea. It's risky.
It's one of those things, if you are an ANCAP who wants to get more people over to your cause, like if that's something that you're really concerned about, then it might give you pause to pick that particular case to do jury nullification on.
Well, you don't know what cases are going to be happening on any particular day. I think that the article that I'm reading from in the Trentonian is trying to make jury nullification look as bad as possible, right? So, because they're against this. This is going to upend the system a little bit if people can think for themselves and decide if laws are bad. So they're like, but murderers, you know, these guys killed somebody in cold blood. But usually, jury nullification is used for drug cases where people, or no victim crimes, where people are facing losing their freedom, losing their money, or, you know, maybe even losing their life just because of so-called crimes that, you know, are on the books, but they never really hurt anybody. So, you know, I thought it was... But this is an interesting one also because he's a corrections officer. And so, like, I know people might have, biases in their minds about who's a hero and who's not. But if I could strip away the magic from the badges and uniforms that people wear and we just called this two people, you know, killing this one other person, I would want to know, what's their history together? Do they know each other? Do they have friends in common, enemies in common? Like, what was this really about? I don't know. But I could imagine a world where it might be justified. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but that's up to the jury to decide, right? And they're going to get the facts of the case. Yeah. And they can decide. Yeah. You know? It is up to them. And they do have the power. And I think most people don't know that when they're walking into a courtroom, or they get a notice in the mail like, oh, man, I have jury duty. So it's a cool thing right. they can do.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that it is an option for them and that they do have a certain degree of power. Yeah, you know, if you do wind up getting on a jury, it does take up a lot of your time and you're not getting paid very much. I think they are in some places required to pay you minimum wage. An hour or something like that for your time. But yeah, it's important for people to know, and that time could end up freeing someone's life. You know, it could prevent them from spending years wasting away in prison for something that shouldn't be illegal anyway.
So. Yeah, but you could use that same argument for voting. Like, yeah, you know, I could vote and my time could be, you know, and it's a very small amount of time. And,
well, it's,
you know,
easier to get out of jury nullification. It's or jury selection. It's very easy to get out of. You just, you know, you tell them you believe in jury nullification. I mean, or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to get out if you really don't want to do it. But it's something I've always wanted to do. And I got called one time, but didn't get selected. I didn't even make it to the selection process because it was by numbers. My number didn't get called, so I didn't even get to go down there. But I've always wanted to go just to see what the process is like. And, of course, so that I could, you know, decide something. You know, have yeah. Especially if it's a drug case or something like that.
Hey, When I did it, they actually had a big stack of papers that was clipped together, and you had to answer all these questions and then look through all the names to see if we knew anybody that was on this list so we can prove that was impartial. And they asked you, like, you know, do you have a political affiliation that may hinder your ability to judge this case or something like that? And I said, oh yeah, I'm an anarcho-capitalist and I find this court to be illegitimate. And then they called me back and said, oh, we want you to come back for a second round. And then and then like an hour later, they're like, oh wait, never mind, you can stay home. You've been relieved. I'm like, all right, thanks. I think they read that page. Yeah, I think they read that page and was like, call him back now. We don't want him. Yeah.
Did I tell you guys I was asked to leave? I was because I had a gun. Here in New Hampshire, I walk around open carrying all the time, everywhere. And most people love it, but this one guy, I was at a museum, like, showing my mom she was visiting in town. The guy asked me to leave because I had a gun. He was scared to death. He couldn't believe that the guy at the front counter had let us in. I want to tell you about it.
Yeah, maybe we'll tell come us back. About it after the break. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I should have been thrown out.
How dare you have a gun in the current year?
Ugh. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store, from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know, the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free. And of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio. And get ready for lip there with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
You're a cat.
You're a
kitty.
You were told to leave a museum recently. Is that what you were?
Yeah. Saying? So, my mom came up to visit. I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire now. And New Hampshire, excuse me.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. And one of the cute things they have here is this old preserved part of town where you can go back in time and like see people churning butter and wearing silly hats. And I wanted to go do that and walk around the town. And I paid the money. I bought the tickets. I went in and I had my gun on me. So did my boyfriend, Steven. And we were open carrying. So it was not anything, you know, hidden or whatever. And we were allowed to go through. We were given the introductory video, and then we were stepping through the next little room, and the guy who I guess was the site manager of some kind, he was like, you guys have firearms, you have guns. And we're like, yeah. And, you know, and he was like, well, I mean, the world the way it is today, I mean, you can't have that here. And I was like, well, I didn't see any sign or anything. You know, when I bought the tickets, no one said anything about it. And, you know, I haven't seen anything to indicate to me that I'm not allowed to have this and it's legal here. So, you know, what's the issue? And so he was saying they just don't allow it. It's part of their policy. It seemed like he was making that up, but you know, whatever. As a person who respects property rights, it's private property. They get to decide what they want on their property. And I'm going to respect that, even if I think it's stupid. Even if I think it's less safe. I mean, I agree with him. The way the world is today, I would want responsible gun owners to be on my property. You know, keeping the criminals away as a deterrent, showing them that this is not going to be a good place for them to try and rob or kill people. But anyway, I mean, if I was trying to do any harm, like, clearly I wouldn't have paid the money for the tickets, sat down with my family watching this video, and then walk through, I mean, and then openly display the weapon. So this guy is just clearly right. Not thinking. He's being irrational. I was annoyed, but, you know, I ended up leaving, and they were good enough to give me my money back. But I just thought, like, yeah. I want to share this with the fiends, because maybe you'll have some insight for me. People have told me, like, well, just don't open carry, man. But that would be illegal. Like, they wouldn't know if I had just kept it under my shirt. But that's a crime. You know, because I'm required to have their permission slip. So
right. Ugh. Well, it's one of those things that if you don't have a whole lot of experience handling firearms and carrying and things like that, they do seem very scary. And it's important to kind of keep that in mind when you're dealing with people who maybe aren't as well experienced with those things. So maybe they do fall for a lot of the propaganda and a lot of the fear around that. I remember before I carried, I was nervous around guns. They just made me a little bit nervous. And I realized that was a bit irrational, but it's not completely irrational. I think, especially if you've had certain personal interactions with them or you've had certain tragedies in your life, that's going to influence someone's choice. But yeah, maybe it was a good opportunity to educate him about it and be like, hey, look, I'm a nice person. I'm just trying to defend myself against any situation I might run into. I just want peace, and this is the way that I feel is most peaceful. You know, it could have been a good teaching opportunity and to show him that not all gun owners are irrational, angry, vicious people.
But it's not just the guns. The guns could just hop out of the holster and shoot someone. I've seen it on cartoons.
Well, I think it was a teaching moment because I left. Like, hey, okay, so you don't get my money now. You know, this was four people. you know, the paid full price for your event. And usually, you know, like, people have a good time at something, they'll tag it on Facebook, they'll tell their friends, whatever. But if they have a bad experience with something, they're likely to tell at least 10 people. That's like, you know, how it works out, what I learned in, like, some marketing class one time. If you have a good experience, you'll tell maybe, like, one person. You have a bad experience, you'll tell, like, 10 people. So
Yelp is lopsided. If you have something bad to say, everyone's going to be posting that three-paragraph-long explanation about why their experience at China Joe's was terrible. But if it was good, it's like,
Just right, China exactly. Joe's. Yeah.
You know, unless it's really amazing, then, you know.
So that's my next step, is to be like, how do I publicize this with grace so that I come out looking at least, you know, like a respectable guy that's not complaining, like, you didn't let me have my gun. Like, I'm not like that, you know. But
yeah. And you're very different than those people who open carry to make a kind of jerk statement, like, oh, such and such private place doesn't want me to have a gun, so I'm gonna go there and open carry and try to scare everyone with my AR-15 or something. Like, those people suck. I think we can all agree.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Now,
yeah. So did you want to go back to the bathrooms, or hey?
I just got back from the bathroom. Why would I want to? Oh, you're talking about the art. Okay,
the topic of bathrooms.
Okay,
yeah, I did. I don't know, but I just did an article. I don't want to end a story. Someone else share something. Share something private. Share something that private. Nobody knows. tell the whole world something. Yeah, it's just between us.
First you want to take me to the bathroom, now you want me to share something private. What's going on here? I'm very uncomfortable. I think I'm going to go to my safe space here. Sorry. Triggered me.
I need to retreat into my safe space.
Well, I'll share, fine. You know, the article that I have is from Church and State, and the headline is, "Kids More Likely to Be Molested at Church Than in Transgender Bathrooms." And it's one of those articles where once you read the headline, you pretty much get it. You don't need to read the article. It's got some numbers. 17,000 victims made accusations, and 6,500 clerics counted as not implausibly or credibly accused. So it was either credible or not implausible. That's the way they put it.
And and I know we were hating on anti-theists earlier, and Jim has a problem, but this is one of those edgy anti-theist arguments that I had in my head that, like, I wanted to make but couldn't find the numbers for, you know?
Oh, well, now we've got numbers.
And now I have numbers to justify my bias. This is great. I feel so good about myself. I'm so smug right now. No, but this is something I did always kind of suspect, you know? It's like, I was scrolling through the face beefs the other day, and someone was freaking out about the transgender thing, and someone was like, this is why we need a theocracy to prevent degeneracy. And I was like, really? Like, that hasn't worked so well.
Well, they give the degenerates a home and call it a church.
Yeah.
The No, I'm just joshing. The child abuse
let me
accusations.
Just tip my fedora a little bit. Let me just adjust this. Okay.
Fedora.
I don't know if I can trust these numbers. They're only for Protestant churches. They do not include Catholic churches, which I think is missing a big part of the picture here.
But, wait, I thought it is Catholic churches. Isn't that what this says?
No.
This is the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops?
It's at churches. There's all different kinds. There's, you know, I'm reading further down in the article.
Yeah. Oh, that's farther down. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, I see.
1% of the churches surveyed reported abuse accusations annually. So, all right, you know, 1%, it's happening every year. 42% were volunteers, 25% were paid staff, and 25% were other children, which that's a weird statistic. I don't know.
That's sad. So this is the big mistaken belief about the transgender bathroom thing. People think that this is just going to open the door to pedophiles, but pedophiles have been operating behind closed doors in very close to families. They're usually going to be family members
or
close family friends who are likely to do this and in secret. You don't really hear about this happening in public bathrooms anyway. So
yeah, never,
it's a complete
actually.
Misunderstanding of the whole syndrome and problem that pedophiles are.
Yeah, and Breitbart had listed two news articles where they're talking about how one person was just a regular looking guy who went into a bathroom to film women, and the other one was a guy who dressed like a woman to kind of hide himself and film women. And they were like, oh, see, look at these news stories that just happened last week with these things. You know, clearly this is an epidemic. But if you go and actually find the original articles from these are like episodes that have happened like in 2013 and 2011, and they weren't even recent at all. And yeah. Even still, it's like, where's the rest of them? Because you know,
Oh, we may have lost
one
you.
Example. One
there he goes.
Oh,
yeah, we lost you.
Am I back? So
yes,
you're back.
So they're old articles, and there's only one actual example, and one does not make a trend, right?
Mm-hmm. No. Well, also, yeah. There are zero reports of child molestation by strangers in transgender bathrooms. So,
yeah.
You know, zero is less than one, which is at least reported.
Turns out it's kind of a hard churches. Thing to get away with in public. You know, who knew?
Yeah. Well, parents, watch your kids. I don't know. What else can you say? You gotta watch your kids.
Yeah. Watch your kids.
Watch who you're trusting them.
And don't let them climb in the gorilla cage.
What is that? What happened there?
I have a vague. I just, you know,
some
I
kid climbed in that. He climbed in a gorilla cage somewhere, and
so
they
in
shot
Cincinnati,
the gorilla.
Yeah, in the Cincinnati Zoo, there was a gorilla cage where there was a very endangered gorilla, and you know, mother wasn't paying attention. Who, ironically, runs a daycare center. I wasn't watching her kid, and the kid climbed down, fell down about 15 feet into the tank. The kid was trying to get in there, and then the gorilla grabbed him and was thrown around like a dragging him around like a rag doll in the water. And they had a decision whether they were going to tranquilize the animal or wait for the kid to get loose so they can grab him or kill him. And when seconds count, you can't wait 2 minutes for a tranquilizer to kick in. So they ended up shooting the gorilla to lethal force after it kept dragging him around. And now everybody's up in arms, like how dare they do this to this wonderful creature, not even recognizing the fact that there was a kid endangered. You know, who could
Why don't they blame the mother? Like, I'd be upset that the gorilla died, but it's her fault.
Right.
It's the mom's fault that all of this happened.
Yeah, what was so distracting that she didn't realize her kid had gotten that far and that close.
How old's the kid? He's like a toddler, right?
He's like four, I think.
Yeah, you're supposed to watch your kids at that age.
Yeah, they get in all
I don't know. There's no rule book. I don't think there's a book about it, but
with a
pretty sure you're supposed
and that
to watch
kid,
him.
He's really fast and he's really destructive. So you got to keep an eye on him. You know, like they're quick at that age. Don't underestimate their abilities.
So people are sad that the gorilla got shot,
right?
But they're not sad that the kid almost died.
Right.
Or could kids are a dime a dozen. You know, these gorillas, they're really something special. And, you know, they're endangered. So you can't shoot something endangered. That's illegal.
I think they have a little bit more permission since they're the actual caretaker of one.
It's a bit of a troll world.
Right, but it's a bit of a trolley problem, isn't it? It's like, do you pull the lever and you know, kill one person to save five? It's tough.
Well, what if it's a little person?
Well, you're in that position where it's the heat of the moment. It's kind of hard to make those kind of moral calls. It's tough. You know? What are you going to do?
It is tough. That it happened, you know, that the kid was already in the cage. Yeah, you're kind of stuck with having to make the quickest and safest decision for that kid at the time. So, yeah.
I don't know. I would use the tranquilizers.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle on this. Watch your kids.
Pick a side.
Watch your kids. You know, make sure you know what they're doing. If they fall in the gorilla cage, then, you know, maybe
she won't join our tribe. Shoot a gorilla.
Physically removed.
Burn the witch. But
tranquilizers take about 2 minutes for them to kick in. So
right,
that's what I was 2 minutes, and hopefully
that's not how it works in the movies. I think you're wrong, Jim.
Yeah, touche. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's a whole. It's kind of a whole scary thing. I mean, what if you? The kid was in a lot of danger in that situation, even with them trying to shoot the gorilla. I mean,
yeah. Like, what if they shot,
they
the,
shot
kid?
The kid?
Thank a veteran.
Free triangle. That was too much. Yeah, but you have a gorilla that's like 400 pounds of meat. Like, that's a pretty strong beast.
It could fall on the kid.
Yeah, and if you saw the video of the kid getting dragged around, it's disturbing. It was really disturbing how he was just dragging that kid through the water like it was just a rag doll.
Yeah, because the gorilla doesn't know any better, though. I mean, it's used to being caged.
Oh,
it's used to being, you know, caretakers are feeding it food. It's not going and hunting. It's not interacting. I don't know how much it interacts with other types of animals, but they're not going to know that it's a human baby that has value to someone. Like, to them, it's just a thing that fell into their cage and that they can play with. Or was it
thinking that it was another primate and was trying to take care of it from the crowds that were screaming in horror? They don't really know, so kind of hard to get inside their head.
I don't go to zoos.
I don't like
zoos. Creep
honestly.
Me out. They make
totally
me feel like. Did you ever read
out.
Slaughterhouse 5?
Yeah.
Where the main character ends up in a Tralfamadorian zoo. Oh, spoiler alert, if you haven't read this book from the 60s.
The main character
ends up in a cage for some aliens in a far-off place. And they try and, like, give him his natural environment and habitat. I mean, and I had always viewed zoos as kind of weird and they're kind of boring, too. I mean, like, why do you want to stare at these animals? But they're just sad. The animals always look like they're trapped. They've got a twig and some, like, linoleum floor that's shaped like, you know, grass and has some, like, green leaves and stuff. It's so sad. They know that they're not in leaves. They know they're not in the forest.
It's prison for animals.
Yeah.
I don't like zoos. I mean, since moving out here, I moved to San Diego a few months ago, and there's a huge zoo here, and a lot of people... Yeah, but a lot of people ask me, oh, have you been to the zoo? It's an awesome zoo. And I mean, I don't care kind of how awesome it is. Like, oh, that to me is like, oh, well, you know, this is the best prison for people. Like, they feed them the best food and they have the best cages.
But it doesn't have to be.
Tremendous. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. They have the best.
It's fantastic.
They have the best people.
But they've made zoos great again.
It's the difference between a state-run zoo and a private zoo, though, right? Like, couldn't there be a business where they have a zoo and it's privately run and they have, like, you know, really happy, healthy animals and they develop the land in a really, you know, like, great way?
How happy is a caged bird, Derek?
They don't know. Maybe they don't know they're caged, or maybe they aren't caged at all. Maybe they just have such good food that the bird follows their nose and just comes on back.
They put a little bit of cocaine in the food to keep them hooked.
Just Fruit Loops.
Just Fruit Loops. All the Fruit Loops, the best Fruit Loops.
They are addicting.
they are.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Physically remove.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get the feel that internet libertarians, I get the physical, so the physical removal thing is funny and all, but do you ever get the feeling that they want to physically remove the wrong people and not physically remove the ones they should?
What are you talking about?
Like, they want to physically remove the James Weeks for dancing naked, but not Gary Johnson for being a liberal.
Oh, yeah, that would be
That would be one example.
Yeah, right.
Like a lot of them are all afraid about, you know, oh, these like liberals and these leftists, and they're bringing their, you know, terrible lifestyle preferences or very fun lifestyle preferences, depending on, you know, whatever.
Why didn't the libertarian nomination end in a duel?
Oh, it totally should have.
All these libertarians have guns. Let's make things interesting.
They had a flintlock, apparently.
One of them had a gun. One of them was ready.
What was the story with that?
So Austin Peterson...
Applesauce gave him a gun.
Applesauce.
gave Gary Johnson a gun to kind of bury the hatchet from all the jerky things he did. Or the official line was, oh, we want to build bridges and unite the party. Whatever. And
that's so disgusting. Everything that comes out of his mouth makes me vomit.
It was a flintlock replica of George Washington's gun, and Gary Johnson threw it away. Now, I would have thrown it away for two reasons. The first reason is
you can't throw a gun away.
You throw it away.
Well, it's a replica gun. It's not real.
Oh.
So the first problem is it's George Washington's gun. It probably is a replica of the gun that he probably used to shoot the tax protesters in the Whiskey Rebellion. So it's a symbol of federal tyranny at best. And secondly, it's from Austin Peterson. I would have thrown it away in his face.
Right in his face like that. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Especially after brutal. What he did, like, he was mad because I made a Libertarians Against Humanity card that made fun of him, and he said that he tried to confront me about it, and I ran away, and I was like, funny. I don't even remember being in Washington D.C. in my entire life.
He was talking to Louis C.K.
Yeah,
I was so flattered that I was like barely even referenced in Libertarians Against Humanity. Like,
I
was like, this is my moment, you know? Like, I've made it.
You were barely referenced?
Barely referenced. And what does that mean? Was it
Libertarian Welfare Queens?
Yeah, Libertarian
Welfare Queens. That was your thing. And that's a direct reference to you. You made that up.
I think there was actually two cards. Yeah, you had two cards.
Oh, that's right. See? Yeah, I did have two.
You're like Pokemon.
I don't like Pokemon. Got it. Exactly. That's... I'm going places. I'm in a deck of cards. That's awesome. I love them. I think they're hilarious. It's super inside baseball. Unless you're caught up with all of the libertarian
all the cool kids
drama.
Are playing it.
But it is freaking hilarious. If you get
people
all
can
the
still
references.
Get them right. They're still
I have volumes. I still have volume 3. I have volume 1 and 2. I have all the images and stuff, so you can go and have them made, and I tell you where to get them and how to do it, but they're really expensive. But unless you're going to buy them in bulk, they're really expensive.
Well, I'm going to bring them to Porkfest. We're going to play them. We could play them on air.
Yeah. And we have a monthly meetup here in Vegas, and I'm going to...
Oh, it's useless.
Bring them every...
You're totally drones.
Wow, they don't want to let you tell us about the party in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is.
Every
this
time
is
you talk about it, it cuts out.
It's a Pink Pistols party.
This must bring, be a good
bring
party.
Your Pink Pistol.
This is the only party I want to go to now.
Yeah.
The party they don't want you to know about.
We'll link it in the show notes. How about that?
All right, good.
Well, this is redemption.
You can't censor the there. Show notes.
We should. Can we redeem with the Libertarian Party proved how useless it is?
Yes. Yes. Well, they took Austin Peterson seriously. That was number one.
It's all about changing culture and making jokes. That's the way to freedom. Yep.
I think they should embrace the dancing man, James Weeks.
Yeah, that's the way to freedom.
Full naked dance parties are the only way to freedom.
Next year, he should get fully naked.
And if you don't agree, I'm going to put you in a people zoo.
Yeah, MK
No thong.
It.
No thong 2020. Let's do this.
No thong 2020.
Full frontal freedom.
Naked people for president. It doesn't matter who.
It doesn't matter exactly. Aw, man. It's been a good one.